Welcome to Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. Hi, friends, and welcome to part two of a new Chasing the Word series on the Red Letters, all the ways in the books of the Bible where Jesus is quoted speaking in his own voice. And in this series, we've added a new dimension to our teaching and discussion. We'll be asking God each time to speak to each of us in fresh and new ways through an ancient devotional practice known as the Lectio Divina. We're going deeper into the scriptures, and we're inviting you to join us. Last week, we just got started with the very first appearance of Jesus, where we hear him speak for himself, and it's found in Luke 2, 41 through 52. Here's a quick recap of the story before we jump into the Lectio section of the program. And, as always, thanks for sharing 30 minutes of your precious time with us today. But they got to start retracing their steps. They go to every place they've been, one at a time. Whatever the situation is, they're going to go to every single spot, retrace every single step till they finally get back to the last place that they can think of that they might have gone to, where he probably would not have gone to without them. They have to go search someplace they do not know that well, which is the bigwigs that run the temple, that teach the people theology professors.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that maybe they were hopeful that someone that they encountered had seen Jesus.
They rushed to the scene. They're exasperated.
Yeah.
And of course, mom is frantic.
Yes.
That's obvious in the text.
Yeah. I felt it was significant that it was 3 days. That just kind of leapt off the page
to me. For 3 days, he's dead to them.
Yeah. For 3 days, he was nowhere to be found.
Reminds me of the 3 days of waiting after the crucifixion. Well, we have to go to Lectio Divina to try it for the first time. So, honey, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and make that transition here.
Okay. I do want to give a little background of Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina basically just means divine reading. Reading scripture, you sit and ponder just a small portion. And this originates way back into like the 3rd century. Origen of Alexandria is one of the first teachers of this practice. I'm just going to have Bram read a scripture, just the words of Jesus, the red letters. And then I'm going to ask a few questions. And then we'll have some time for you to think about it. Then I'll ask some more questions. You might be in your car, driving to the store or to work or home. Just listen for the passage.
Here's the scripture, Luke 2, verse 49. Jesus asked, "Why did you have to look for me? You should have known that I must be where my Father's work is."
And as we sit with this scripture, I just want to pray a little prayer before we dive into it. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear. Give us wisdom in our hearts and minds to know. Help us to pray like the boy Samuel. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I am going to ask Bram to read the scripture again. And as he reads it, I want you to listen for a word or a phrase that seems like it's addressed to you.
Jesus asked, "Why do you have to look for me? You should have known that I must be where my Father's work is."
Now that we've spent a few seconds just pondering these things, we're going to read the scripture again. Now, is there a feeling or an image that sticks with you? Something that just pops into your head? Ask yourself, what in my life is happening that needs this word or phrase? And I'm going to ask you to really be honest with yourself here.
Jesus asked, "Why did you have to look for me? You should have known that I must be where my Father's work is."
I hope there are things coming to mind for you. We're going to read it again. And this time, ask the Holy Spirit if there's an invitation for you here today. How is this word or phrase a gift for you, something to carry with you throughout the day?
Jesus asked, "Why did you have to look for me? You should have known I must be where my Father's work is."
And now that we've listened 3 times to this scripture, I'm going to ask Bram to read it 1 more time. And as he does, I want you to hold on to that phrase or word as you just rest with it. Thank God for this gift he's given you today.
Jesus asked, "Why did you have to look for me? You should have known that I must be where my Father's work is."
As we close out our time of Lectio Divina today, there is an action step for us. And as an action step, we want to carry this gift with us into the day. When you're able, journal your thoughts about what you've experienced today. And thank you for your time with us.
Jesus asked, "Why did you have to look for me? You should have known that I must be where my Father's work is."
Now for the rest of our time together, Bram and I are going to discuss what we experienced doing this same Lectio Divina just before we recorded.
Well, honey, it's going to be interesting to get into kind of a new rhythm for the way we do these Compassion Radio Chasing the Word series because of this exercise that we will do every time in the middle of our runabout days, because most people will be hearing this program in the middle of something else.
Yeah.
So I do believe that the Sabbath of Jesus goes with us everywhere. The Sabbath we thought we knew is not what we really have. It's something way beyond that. It can bring peace in the middle of turmoil. In the middle of war, there can be peace of the soul that only comes from the Spirit of the living God in Jesus. I have high hopes that this exercise, even through radio, where we're not sitting right in front of our friends, is going to mean something. And I didn't just get preached at. I got to speak those words in my heart myself. I literally got to quote Jesus. Literally quoting Jesus in our own hearts and speaking his very words right back to him.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about your experience of jumping into this. You had a number of questions that you asked along the way. First one was, what's the phrase that stuck out?
Well, for me, it was the second part of that scripture. You should have known. That was the uncomfortable phrase that popped out at me.
Why is it uncomfortable?
It feels a little like he's scolding me.
Oh, here you go.
Yeah.
Well, honey, the one that stuck out for me was that very first five or six words. Why did you have to look?
I wonder why that phrase stuck out to you.
Well, it's the first words literally out of Jesus' mouth in the Bible. So that's got to mean something for me. What's the very first thing he asks? It's not just looking past me to somebody else. The word's for me, too. It's the very first thing that Jesus asks of me in his own voice as one human being to another.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take it seriously.
Yeah.
Do I really have to look at all? So I did think about that.
Yeah.
I realized there are a lot of times where I'm pressing for an answer in the form that I want it to be answered.
Explain that.
Trying to get him to say what we want him to say. There are plenty of times where it seems quite obvious in retrospect that we didn't have to look at all. It's been there all along. Maybe you just had to pay attention, not keep searching around for something that's already in front of me. I think there's plenty of times when Jesus giving his answer really is enough. I just have to take some time and actually contemplate what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it just is this simple. Maybe I am looking, investigating, searching because I just need to be with him. I need to be seen and know that he's in the room with me and that we have some relationship. Maybe that's what I'm feeling like I want. Maybe I'm realizing I just need to shut up and be quiet because he's already in the room dealing with stuff with me.
Yeah.
If there's not a why, then maybe I just need to move on to something else. Or maybe God's showing me an answer that I just don't want to hear. All that could be a valid response to the question that Jesus is asking me.
Mm. Was there an image or a feeling that jumped out at you or that popped up because of this question?
Surprisingly, the word is surprise. He's asking a question that seems so simple and straightforward, like a 12-year-old kid to his parents, why are you looking for me? In this scenario where Jesus is talking to his parents, he's almost like stunned. I thought you'd have figured this out pretty quick. I mean, where else would I be? In my dad's house. Like, it's so consuming for Jesus. His inquisitiveness, his passion for something, his passio, is dedicated to something that keeps drawing him to the source of all life. And he can't not go there. And he would think his parents on this earth would have noticed that over all these years. He's surprised that his parents are surprised that he's here.
Yeah, I guess so.
How about you?
Because the phrase was so uncomfortable for me, like I was being scolded, this image that I had at first was this stern face, almost hands on hips. And I'm hearing an extra word in it.
Okay.
You should have known better. You should have known not to. You should have, you know. And as I sat with that and felt some shame, something inside of me said, there's no shame. Your shame and guilt are removed. I realized that it was more like, not that you should have known better, or you should have known what's wrong with you. You should have known that you already know. You should have remembered.
I have to remind you of this?
Yeah. That was kind of a shift in perspective for me. And it was what I needed, actually. I needed this affirmation, this reaffirmation even, of what I'm capable of or what I already know. Like you said, this is a new series for us, and it is a little bit daunting for me as a spiritual director. I want to make sure that your experience with these spiritual practices is good and moving. You know, I have this little bit of trepidation going into it.
Well, we got to model this thing too. And through radio, all you have is our words and the proximity to our microphones to say, you're in the room with us. We don't have all that nonverbal communication, the eye contact, the space being set like a good counseling office or a spiritual director will set the stage so that the time is clear of distractions. Mm-hmm. We have no guarantees when we sit down to do these.
We have no control over that.
And that's okay, because what we're trying to do is introduce you, our friends, to something that is transforming the way we talk to God and with each other. This is the beginning. Yeah. And again, we have a whole lot more of Jesus' words to spin here.
Yeah.
And to let them soak into us in new ways that we may never have thought they could penetrate us. But we've got to exemplify this, which means we got to be a little more raw with our own responses, saying, I learned something here, and it's not easy to talk about. But we're going to try to do that for you, friends.
So moving on a little bit, what in your life is going on right now that needed to hear this phrase?
Yeah, the thing that is going to get up my business about, huh? Well, sometimes the answers are pretty obvious. We talked about that. I may just need to step outside of my own emotional bubble for a moment and let him talk to me frankly. Sometimes it would be uncomfortable just to offer the invitation to let someone speak to you, and you fear that it might be harsh. But still, you feel like you need to do that. We've all had relationships with our children and with our colleagues, with our friends, with our even our mentors, that we had to say quite frank things that may not have felt good to hear them. And we may have been receiving of those kind of words too. You know, God's not the only one that gets to be direct and harsh with people if necessary at times, with his divine love and wisdom and understanding goes beyond ours. Sometimes he literally challenges us in the Word of God to bring it. You got a problem with me? Bring it.
Yeah.
Friends, Compassion Radio has been committed to bringing you the truth about what God is really doing in the world and how He is bringing about the salvation, redemption, life, and growth of His kingdom wherever it is to be found. I'm grateful for the opportunity and humbled by the responsibility. Will you help? Just call today with your gift and consider making it monthly. 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And our website is CompassionRadio.com. Reach out to us whatever way works for you. God bless you and your growing faith. And now, back to our discussion.
He literally challenges us in the Word of God to bring it. You got a problem with me? Bring it.
Yeah.
That's all through the Bible. I mean, we wouldn't have a David if we didn't have someone like that. He was up in God's grill constantly, and so were a number of the prophets. There's just something about God saying, I can take it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you got a problem, let's hash it out. He's not saying, just be quiet. You don't know what you're talking about. Even if we don't know what we're talking about, God is absolutely saying, let's talk. So I have to sometimes let God ask me another question or allow him to speak to it or answer it himself. That's a challenge that God literally invites us to do. Mm-hmm. How about you? What's the thing that got up in your grill on this one?
That could go a bunch of different directions for me. There's a lot of...
Well, Divina Lectio here is about the first impressions, right? Yeah, so what's the first thing that came to mind?
Yeah. Well, we have to be a little bit raw. There are some issues with my health that are ramping up. That's been really challenging for me. You know, it's chronic illness for me. It's been struggling with it for years. And I'm tired. Tired of the hassle of it. I'm tired of the inconvenience of it. I'm tired of the pain that comes with it. And I do often wonder where God is in what I'm experiencing.
Okay, so that response you're talking about is on the phrase that moved you first, which was, you should have known.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
Yeah. There's a lot of things that I don't know about the outcomes of my chronic illness. But what I should have known is that I am seen and I am loved and I am cared for by the Father. It's hard for me to see that oftentimes. You should have known, he's saying, you should have known that I've always loved you through it, and he has, and that I've often carried you through it, and he has. And I've sent others, like your husband, like your children, like dear friends, to care for you when you've needed the most. You should have known in this moment that all of that was from me.
So you're seeing the character of the way God has cared for you in the past.
Yeah.
So what's the invitation? What's the looking forward part?
Well, originally, I guess I was thinking the invitation was in the next phrase, I must be where my Father's work is. I must be about kingdom work. I must, you know, get involved and go where God is at work and show up there. And we talk about that a lot on Compassion Radio. And it is our ethic. It is to get involved with the work that God's already doing, not to reinvent things that others are already boots on the ground accomplishing. But for me, I guess when I think more about this phrase in light of my experience with chronic illness, he's inviting me into his rest in this. The invitation is to remember his presence and his care for me. And that's beautiful to be reminded, Sandy, you should have known that I wasn't going to leave you, that I wasn't going to let you suffer in silence or alone. I wasn't going to abandon you in this. You should have known that. That's never been true of me. That will never be true of me. So again, it's an uncomfortable reminder. It's an uncomfortable invitation because I want to kick against the goads. I want to be done with this. I want a magic pill to fix it. Yeah. And God says, that's not always the case. You know, I was reminded just this moment of a scene from The Chosen. I don't remember what season it was, but James the Lesser is crippled and he goes about in pain. He goes about with a cane. He's often behind everyone else because he can't walk as fast. And James says to Jesus, I don't understand. You heal all these people. You do all of these miracles. Why not me? And I don't remember exactly what the words were that Jesus said, but it was basically, I could heal you, but my plans for you are so much greater than that. That's what I have to hang on to.
It's a harsh hope when you're thinking of it, but it also is one that has many possibilities. God may very well heal you of certain things you've been suffering through and change up the whole calculus again. We're not shutting him off by saying, even if he doesn't, I'll still follow you. We're simply saying that even if he doesn't, we'll still be able to follow you. We're not going to give up. That Sabbath comes to us where we are. I think about the way you've shown Sabbath and rest and refreshment to me over the years. And even now while we're building a house and I'm up to my armpits and stuff frequently every week, I'm doing something to get our house closer to being ready to live in. I can't just, in my mind, set things aside, go back to get lunch or get a drink. And then you show up. You come to me where I am and just hand me a glass of water or tea. And you say, drink this now. I don't say no to that. One, because I realize I'm thirsty. But second, because I know you well enough to know that you know me. And you know what I'm going to need when I need it. And you show up. It's not like I'm just waiting for you every time and I'm passive about this. I just can trust that even if I'm up to my eyeballs in something, if there's a need there, God's going to take care of it. And quite often, it's going to be you showing up to take care of a need for me. That reminds me that God is not waiting for me just to show up at church to get the good stuff. He's pursuing me to come get me wherever I am. I don't have to be outside of that. The invitation for me, honey, was Jesus swinging his arm left and right, showing mom and dad, you see where we are? The glory of all these things? And he's not just seeing a temple of stone and gold. He's showing lives being transformed or God's promises. He's seeing across history, well, demonstrating this. So if I see any invitation in this little scene, it's come join me in the shop. My dad does work here. My dad's a construction contractor. He builds places like this. I've seen him construct things that people live in, that people worship in, that whatever. He's watched his dad on earth build these things. My Heavenly Father's building this, the bigger thing. Do you not see it?
Yeah.
I often dream of having a workshop where there's not a tool that I'm missing. I don't have to run to Home Depot to get the staple I don't have or the wrench that would fit this shape. It's just that I have exactly what I need every single time. I don't have to go anywhere. I've got the tools I need in front of me to do beautiful things, to make furniture or to create something. I would love that. I know it's kind of a pipe dream. There'll never be enough resources to have every single tool you might need. But the notion of being fully equipped and being invited in to do something that has eternal significance is a wonderful thought. So for me, that's my invitation. Come join me in the shop where I do have every tool you will need and you are perfectly suited for this work. That's the invitation I see. Okay, and the last thing, honey, that you asked us to consider was, how is this a special gift to you today? If these words that Jesus spoke in that very first phrase that appears in Scripture in the book of Luke was a gift to you, a perfect word set in silver frames and gold roses all around the thing, like we hear throughout the Old Testament, perfect words, what's the gift?
In what I was saying earlier, the gift for me is I can rely on his presence. That I should remember, I should know that regardless of my physical situation, even my mental state, he is with me. And I am able to do the things that he has called me to do. He's not going to call me to a place that I am literally, physically unable to go.
If he says you should, and he says you can, or you will, he's not setting us up to fail us.
Right.
He's not trying to run us into disaster. If he says something is going to happen or demands it of us, because he plans to prepare us and provision us for it.
Yeah.
That ought to be a gift of assurance, if nothing else. You've got an insurance policy.
Yeah.
If you do the work I've set you out to do, you're going to get it done. I'm not letting my stuff fall or fail. And you're my greatest work. So let's get busy together because I'm right there with you, like you said. I think the special gift for me today was the remembrance of something. Why do you have to look for me? Well, sometimes I don't. And sometimes he reminds me that, you know, the gift is this isn't hide and seek. You're not always going to be on the search for everything. It's not always going to be difficult. This isn't hide and seek. I'm right here. Remember that. Sometimes it is just a lot of fun to go search things deeply and go deeper into things or dance around stuff or dance together. Those are all wonderful things, but it's not always necessary, but it's a gift above and beyond sometimes. But at the very minimum, remembering that it's not a game, but it's still fun, enjoyable, and deeply meaningful and pleasant to be with God. Sometimes, even when it's disastrously difficult, it's still a joy. He's right there present.
Yeah.
So that, for me, was the special gift. Well, friends, that's how we're decompressing our own experience of going through the Lectio. And maybe if you're brave enough, like we're trying to be brave for you, you'll join us in this journey as we go. And we reminded you a few times that the Bible study guides that we always put out for our Chasing the Word series is going to be available through all this series as well. In a pretty similar format, we'll have the scripture there for you, the very words of Jesus in red letters, and we'll have the questions that are part of the Lectio that you'll be asked each time. And maybe if you haven't done it already or haven't been able to be quiet and actually give yourself some space and time, you can later, perhaps. The guide's there for you, though, to pull down and actually print out your own copy, answer the questions that Sandy's asking in the broadcast directly, and be honest. As you read those words, as you let those words speak to you, and those questions will be there for you to fill in the blanks. You'll have the opportunity to respond to that. And that's all we want from you for the next few weeks or months, however long it takes for us to get through the words of Jesus, to invite you to get closer that way with the Jesus that really spoke these things. One of the great joys for us in doing these kind of productions is to see that people are really being challenged and moved in the right ways and deepening their relationship with God. Hearing back from you can bring us great encouragement. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know you're pulling the guide down, that you're praying these things, that you are listening, that you're sharing. That would mean the world to us. You can do that right through our website at CompassionRadio.com or through our email address, even directly to me, BramFloria@CompassionRadio.com. We'd love to correspond with you if that's something that you feel brave enough to encourage us with. And that's all we have for this second episode of the first series we've ever done with Lectio. Lectio Divina is our follow-up in the broadcast. We'll do this every week together going forward. Thank you so much for joining us on Compassionate Radio.
We're so glad that you've taken the time out of your day to listen and to spend time with us. As Bram said, we just want to encourage you to take this with you and the words and the phrases, the pictures that have been conjured up in your mind, those are a gift from God.
We'll see you tomorrow on the next Compassionate Radio. We'll be taking on bigger, more ambitious, more important projects than we have ever done before, bringing the compassion of Christ into the very center of the world's greatest conflicts. To get there, we need to raise some serious support and to do it soon. Call us today, friends, and let us know you're standing with us. 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 77160, Corona, California, 92877. And we're on the web 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. It's time, friends, to join us for some great adventures in faith this year. We'll see you tomorrow.